ever-present, eternal life, experienced only in Christ consciousness, is the most priceless pearl of all. Reveal your immortal spiritual kingdom to me. Reveal your will to this mortal creature. Increase my spiritual understanding day by day. Erase my belief in human karma as I accept my divine substance and the divine substance of all. Open my inner eye to truth. Dehypnotize me from false belief of the mind. For there is naught but your infinite spiritual being, your infinite spiritual power, your infinite spiritual life eternally. It isn't recognizable, perhaps, as the Lord's Prayer. But as we look at the Lord's Prayer, we'll begin to see why this paraphrasing was made up. You know, it's a funny thing about the Lord's Prayer. Although we've all studied it and heard it and spoken about it, it always reveals greater depths to us. It never ceases to show how infinite truth is. When the disciples said, "Master, how shall we pray?" He didn't teach them the Lord's Prayer first. He first took them out of false prayer. We ought to look at that in the sermon. Thou, when thou prayest, I'm skipping some purposely. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, it should be clear that if we're going to seek God, we're not going to find God in a closet. And so we know the kind of closet he's speaking about should have opened the consciousness of the world. He was revealing there is something in the midst of you unnoticed. And thy closet then is beginning to reveal itself as the secret place where you locate the Most High. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, and again we see that shutting the door then must indicate we must shut the door on something. And we find we must shut the door to world thought. To enter into the secret place, and then shut the door to world thought was the preparation for the Lord's Prayer. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now this isn't a woman riling out to heaven to send God, to send her son home. And if she were following the Lord's Prayer, she would have entered her closet, the sanctuary of her own being. She would have shut the door to the belief of the world in mortality, materiality, a life apart from the spirit, apart from reality. A life that can be terminated. And with this door shut, She would be now ready to pray to her father, which is in secret. In secret. Means within, in the midst of you. But the Father is spirit. How do you pray to spirit? You see, the recognition of spirit within as her substance constitutes the prayer. Oh, I am spirit. Yes. God is spirit. Yes. Are there two spirits? No, there's one. Then God is my spirit. Yes. And what am I praying about? And that's the very next line. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The minute you recognize God's spirit as your spirit, you have your reward openly, because spirit can never be less than itself. Right where you are is the protection you had sought 5 million miles away, and the God you had sought 5 million miles away. You see how strange it is that religion has been teaching us to do a thing that cannot be done. Now, suppose you wanted to tune in your radio, and the little knob you wanted to turn was 5 million miles away, and your arm is just 2 or 3 feet. How do you reach it? How do you tune into that knob 5 million miles away? You'd never get your radio to work. And we haven't been able to get God to work for the same reason. The control isn't out there. It's in our closet. When we have shut out worldly, when we recognize spiritual identity, that spirit we recognize reveals, I am the power. And this is how we are rewarded. The spirit of our own being recognized becomes our spiritual power realized. How does that cover your needs? God is perfect. Spirit is all there is. Spirit doesn't have any mistakes. Spirit provides. Spirit can never be unlike itself. And so the next line says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition. It's taking us out of words, out of thought, out of the belief that we have to speak to someone to get something, into the recognition that we are that which we are speaking to. We are those qualities we are seeking to find. You are that one that you have been praying to. But by praying to another, you have denied that you are that one. I am all that I seek. And then to end forever the belief that man has the power and the right or the ability to enlighten God. Here comes a line that every church prayer contradicts, and every human prayer, totally in contradiction of this simple line, which is here to enlighten us. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father, that is, the spirit of your being, knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Just think of the billions of prayers that have contradicted this word of God revealed. All believing that we can tell God, who is ignorant of these conditions, all about them. World leaders praying to God for peace. Telling him there's a war on this earth. And we need his help to bring peace. It makes you sick when you realize that the world leaders have not acknowledged the Spirit of God of their own speaking. Present, at peace, perfect, maintaining a perfect universe. And then you look around at poverty, the unawareness of the presence of God, starvation, the unawareness of the presence of God, sickness, the unawareness of the presence of God. Lack, limitation, every form of human catastrophe comes down to the same thing. Unaware that the place whereon thou standest is holy ground, and the mind which insists on denying that fact, because it sees, and therefore it knows more than God. Once we have done this, we're ready for the prayer. Not our prayer, the Lord's prayer. The prayer of the Spirit within us. Not of our mouth to the Spirit. Not of our mind directed to the Spirit to advise it what we need. But that prayer in which we receive from the Spirit we acknowledge as our substance. The prayer in which we are meek unto the Spirit, accepting its presence, its fullness, its glory, listening to the prayer of the Father within us, and that's the Lord's prayer. It is righteousness revealing itself. Now, when I read you this little piece at the beginning, it was to start a discussion. For instance, we use the line, ever-present, eternal life. We're not trying to improve the Lord's Prayer. We're trying to clarify. Our Father is Spirit. Spirit is eternal life. Spirit is ever-present. Our present eternal life is our acknowledgement that eternal life is present, and it is mine, and it is yours, and it is his, and it is hers. It is our Spirit. It is a universal substance, a universal being. And so now we can no longer say our Catholic Father, our Protestant Father, our Hebrew Father, our white Father, our black Father. We cannot call one a saint and one a sinner. Our Spirit cannot be broken down into colors or creeds or religions or nationalities. There is only one Spirit. It is our Spirit. This is where Joel discovered infinity. The infinite Spirit, the one infinite self, acknowledged is the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. And you're acknowledging it within the sanctuary of your own being. My Spirit is thy Spirit, and thy Spirit is my Spirit. We are one Spirit. And that is the revelation of our Father. Now we are one with each other, consciously, infinitely. And to deny it for one is to deny it for ourselves. How can we know this? That the infinite Spirit is our being, Well, our Father which art in heaven. And the only way we will know it is to be in heaven. And heaven is here revealed as the fourth dimension of consciousness. Our ever-present eternal life is revealed in the fourth dimension of consciousness, in Christ consciousness. In spiritual awareness, we discover we are the one infinite spirit. The Lord's Prayer starts out then to enlighten the world that there is one infinite spirit which you can experience when you are in spiritual consciousness. Our Father which art in heaven. Eternal life can be realized only in Christ consciousness. So we must keep this knowledge as our ever-present light. This must be our perpetual conscious awareness. It is in this realization that we dwell, that I am the infinite spirit of the Father, and thou art. And as I dwell in that awareness, I am accepting the one infinite self to be my name, my being, thy being. I am not dividing it. I am not denying it for one and accepting it for another. It is the only self, the one. It is hallowed. It is uppermost. I am accepting the infinite selfhood as the only being on the earth. And in this consciousness, we are living in my name. My name being Spirit. Now we have already completed the Lord's Prayer if we don't go another step. Because if you live in that consciousness, everything else must follow. In that consciousness, you don't have to ask for daily bread. Because the daily bread is that spirit itself. It can only give of itself. And if you're living in the awareness of it, it is flowing to you, and that daily bread, Joel wrote a whole book about it. He called it Consciousness Unfolding. Daily bread. Spiritual understanding. And in Luke, it's said a different way. Give us day by day our bread. In other words, each day increase our spiritual understanding. Each day increase our consciousness to know more and more of reality. And the rest follows automatically, that you will be in a permanent state of forgiveness because you've already accepted Infinite Spirit as the name of the other fellow. Therefore, there can be nothing there to be condemned. You have seen the fact that human consciousness is not there. Only Infinite Spirit is there, and you have forgiven your debtor. You have forgiven him his false concept. Why? Because you have recognized his spirit and your spirit as one spirit. And in the recognition of that, you too are forgiven. You too are wiped clean of material belief. Now you have no karmic debt. Now you don't have to worry about all the mistakes of the past. They're wiped clean. Your debts were your false concepts. Your debts were the degree to which you had departed from the knowledge of self and spirit. And the further away from spiritual identity you had walked, the greater your debt. But you are keeping my name of spirit hallowed. You are dwelling in that consciousness. And therefore, karma is erased. Yes, the karma of past lives, the karma of this one. Even the belief that there was separate individual lives, all is revealed as the continuous spiritual self. All of the parentheses are erased. You stand revealed as the living spirit, which you are acknowledging to be yourself to be. Now, where's temptation? Only in this remnant of the human mind. It isn't the things of the world that are the temple. They're the effect. It's this human mind which projects the belief in these things. Now, they can be wonderful things from a human standpoint, but there was a mighty revelation in Joel's work about the fact that life and death are one and the same. Good and evil are one and the same. Saint and sinner are one and the same. Bad health and good health are one and the same. One and the same illusion. There's no good matter and there's no evil matter. There's no saintly matter and no sinning matter. There's no good health in matter and no bad health in matter. There just is the illusion of matter. The temptation is to believe in matter. And the temptation to accept the evidence of the mind that matter is here. And it hurts, or it doesn't hurt. It's swollen, or it isn't swollen. This is the temptation. But when you are living in the knowledge of spirit as identity, it prevents the acceptance of the temptation to believe in matter as reality, light, presence, substance. So you find that your claim of an unhealthy segment of matter is the yielding to the temptation which should reveal to you the degree to which you have parted from your spiritual integrity. For spirit prevents you from being led into temptation, into the belief in material reality, whether it be good or bad matter. It delivers you from all forms of material belief. The reason is you acknowledge that there is only one substance that exists. That substance is the spiritual kingdom of God. Here Jesus reveals the spiritual kingdom as the only. For thine is the kingdom. This is total acceptance. There is no matter to tempt me into the belief of good or bad matter. There is no physical wealth. There is no physical lack. There is no physicality. And while the human mind vacillates between the two, the Master teaches us the total acceptance of spiritual identity as the Lord's Prayer. Our prayer is the acknowledgement of the ever-present spiritual identity of God as the only light, that can ever exist. The only power that can ever exist. And that any other form of glory than spiritual glory is living in unreality. He's revealing the absolute truth that God alone is. This is his statement about the allness of spirit. Our acceptance of the allness of spirit is the Lord's prayer. And we who do not accept the Lord's prayer as the allness of spirit are not praying aright. We know that to find one person on the earth who prays aright would be a miracle. We all know that even Paul could not pray aright. That each of us finds many reasons why we cannot pray aright. But when we learn our mistakes, we make the correction. And when we falter, we make the second correction. And as often as we falter, we make that correction again. For ultimately, we will come to the place where hallowed be thy name is within the precincts of our ability to follow. When we can truthfully say, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, and because I and thee are one, the spirit of my being is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God, now and here. And I can rest in this with peace and confidence that in spite of every appearance, the truth can never change. And it will be the appearance when I am able to relinquish the false powers of the mind which try to persuade me that there is another kingdom, another power, another glory, another presence, another life, another substance, another condition other than pure spiritual reality. If I am impure at heart, so be it. If I am pure at heart, this is what manifests. Now, it's no crime. Nothing to feel guilty about when you realize that the human race is impure at heart. There wasn't a disciple of Jesus who was pure at heart when he took them on. And they weren't much purer when he left them. It took quite a while and much deep inner dedication. And one of the strange things that you can discover for yourself is that instead of expecting the Spirit of the Father to anoint you because you're meditating three times a day, realize that the momentum of every day and every century is still moving within your consciousness. And this momentum, permeating all of your humanhood, has created a force like gravity so strong that you don't even recognize its effect upon you. Three meditations a day are not going to offset it. And so prayer must become your conscious way of living, so that there's no place or time where you're not in a state of prayer. We call prayer that way, meditation with your eyes open. Now, I want to suggest to you that you set aside one day, your day, call it the Lord's Day, if you will. Make it a day in which you know you're free, that you won't be disturbed, you don't have a job that must be done, you don't have to report anywhere. Make it your own individual retreat day. And for that day, devote your time to living in the acknowledgement of Spirit as the only being. To that day, give yourself completely to the Lord's Prayer. I mean, no social events, no friends, a complete day of solitude with the Lord's Prayer. And I don't care who you are or where you are in consciousness, you will discover the power that is inherent in the Lord's Prayer to anyone who will take the time to expose themselves to it. Now your day of prayer would go something like this. In the morning, you would just take the first line, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that would be your morning's work. Now in that morning, you would take that into contemplation, and then into silence, and then you'd go about the day's chores at home, which might consist of preparing dinner for the family, fixing the garden, but remembering that throughout that morning, no matter what you're doing physically, you are living in the understanding that our Father is the spiritual identity of everything you're touching. It may look like an egg. It may look like a flower. He may look like a man. She may look like a little child. But our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The recognition of Spirit as the invisible identity of everything that appears as matter becomes the morning chore behind all that your hands are doing and your eyes are seeing. This is a conscious practice that morning. And in the course of that morning, you would have one or two meditations. But in between those meditations would be this constant awareness of the invisible Spirit as the only present life. Then you take a little more of it your afternoon, go about your business as usual, always remembering that the words you are holding in consciousness are more than words. They are truth, which must now become acknowledged by you all around you in the things you see and do. And so this afternoon, you are the Spirit of forgiveness. You have no complexes about the fact that you have any human debt of any kind. That you have any old problems to iron out. That there are still some unsolved conditions. You are facing spiritual truth and releasing yourself from the bondage of the false yesterday consciously this afternoon. You are receiving the word within. The divine plan in you is unfolding as your daily breath. You are making that your specific afternoon to listen, to be meek unto the Spirit. And by evening, in your contemplation, you are recognizing that thine is the kingdom, only thee. Only Spirit is here. Only Spirit has ever been here. There has never been a tree of good and evil. There has never been an evil on the earth. There has never been a birth. There has never been a death. There has never been a sickness or a disease. Thine is the kingdom. This evening I am recognizing that only Spirit has been, is, and ever will be. There is no other power to be here but the power of Spirit. Of course, as we go through a day of this kind, nothing that you would normally do need not be done, except that behind all that you do is the substratum of spiritual consciousness. Now, who has given himself the opportunity to experience that one day of retreat in the Spirit? Right there where they are, without going somewhere, without taking a trip somewhere, without finding a quiet place somewhere, but right here where I stand, Spirit is, and I'm going to live in Spirit this day. And you're thinking, oh, you haven't seen my house. Well, pick a day when you can honor the Spirit. There must be one. And the point of it all is this. By the time your morning has come up to, say, 11 or 12 o'clock, you'll know why you've been doing it. You'll have found a depth of yourself quite different than your 15 or half hour meditation of the morning. Because now you're not just meditating, you're praying. You're living in spiritual awareness, and all of your questions begin to find answers. Before, you were saying, why can't I be still? Because you hadn't done this. Before, you were saying, why can't I keep that mind quiet? Because you hadn't been living this way. Before, you were saying, other people get results, why don't I? But now you're seeing that prayer really means living in Spirit. Always. And as you do this for one day, not just a morning, not just an afternoon, one day, you might be a little tired at four, but you may be sure that will be one of the happiest days. One of the most rewarding days. And your Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. For you see, when you're living the Lord's Prayer, instead of talking it, all of the seed of divinity which you are is being nourished by the fullness of God. Capacities hidden within you begin to bud and to bloom. Depths beyond your mental capacity reveal themselves. A new you begins to emerge. And you say, all from one day? Yes, from one day, because in that one day, something happens. Something happens and you're never the same. In that one day, you succeed in shutting the door of your closet. Something you found very difficult to do for a long, long time. You thought you could sit down and shut the door quickly, but you cannot. But when you dwell in the Spirit for that day, it isn't too long before you realize the world is no more with you. The door is shut, and then comes the great revelation. Once the door of the world is shut, you have spiritual realization. What was lacking wasn't that spirit wasn't there. It's the clutter of the world was there, making it impossible for you to attune yourself to the presence of the spirit. And because of the continuation of living in spiritual awareness consciously, suddenly you realize something has fallen away. The world has. Human thoughts have. I'm in a different country right here in my own living room. It is the kingdom of God. Something swirls in and lifts you up and says, I am come. All because the world shut out revealed something that was there all the time. And the mind now uncluttered, you become conscious of this gleam of light. There's no way to explain it. It simply happened. There it is. I am. You feel it. You know it. And then you know why it was necessary to have a day of prayer. When the presence announces itself, you can never be the same. There's no return to the old consciousness then. And this presence says, you don't have to work so hard. I've been here all the time. You didn't make me come here. You didn't reach out to get me. You simply dropped what wasn't you and discovered that I am here and I am you. And I am the grace that you have been seeking. That name which you kept hallowed was your own self. And now I will take over from here. I will show you what it is to live in the kingdom of spirit. And then out comes the oil and you are anointed. Initiated into reality. And instead of talking about life, and trying to improve life, something says, I am the life, and beside me there is no other. Whenever I find myself stagnant, I take my day of prayer, and my mid-morning, I say to myself, why in the world didn't you do this before? Why did you let those last 4 days go by? Just being a token spirit. And I'm sure eventually I'll be wiser than that and not have to chastise myself. Because as we do this, allowing nothing in this world to tempt us from that day, we begin to glimpse a greater, more beautiful universe than the mind of man can imagine. Right where we stand. Now that's our chapter today on prayer and the recommendation that we'd like to make. It might fall in a weekday for some of you, a Saturday for others, a Sunday for others. Don't think now while you're in this day you can't read a book. You can even go boating if you want to. It is where your consciousness remains that day which will determine whether you are in the Lord's Prayer or not. Whether you are in the acceptance of spirit as the only being or not. And for those of you who have had rough sledding in this work, this will do more for you than for anyone else. it will answer in abundance questions that you have sought to find answers for, and it will also suggest questions you should have been asking. Identity, I am that spirit of the Lord. And our spiritual integrity, which permits us to maintain this awareness, is the living of the Lord's Prayer, which the Master gave to his disciples when they said, "How shall we pray?" You'll notice how every chapter in Joel's book adds another facet to our understanding. This leads directly to metaphysical healing, doesn't it? We have seen how our spiritual existence, our understanding of Christ's soul, our understanding of prayer leads into metaphysical healing. Because when you're living in the constant state of prayer, you will not need healing. The prayer, the awareness of self, is the healer. You've released the Savior within. And watch how subtly then metaphysical healing will solidify all that you've done up to this point, so that suddenly you find you are a practitioner, because the Master within you is the practitioner. If you are faithful to the Master. That'll be next week. Consciousness unfolding now. Each Sunday is our Sunday bread. And we'll be looking for your higher consciousness to lift this group, so that as we approach the great chapters on Lost New Horizon and New Jerusalem, we should feel that we have no feet on the ground. A very happy Sunday to you all.